Johnny Manziel is a big deal because he's Johnny Manziel and everything he did. But Texas A&M has a lot coming back on offense. I know that, you know, you lose Matthews there at left tackle, but a lot of young guys, I mean, look what they did in the recruiting front in the last couple of weeks. Kevin Sumlin staying is a huge deal. They return just about everybody on defense. And, you know, you kind of ask the question then, is it really going to be better if a struggling defense returns, you know, 90% of those starters? But another year in the system, another off season to work, I think they're going to be better. They have to be better on defense. And they have some quarterback play. You know, Matt Joko is obviously the guy that you look to immediately, but they have some young guys behind them. I think you're going to have a fun quarterback race there in College Station. I still think Texas A&M is going to be good enough to put some heat on the top teams in the SEC West. Are they up there with Alabama, LSU, as far as a team that can rebuild as fast, reload as fast? We're going to find out, but having Kevin Sumlin still there is a big deal.
James Franklin, leaving from Vanderbilt, what's kind of impact there, and who do they go after? What kind of coach do you think they can get over there?
Well, I think the good news for Vanderbilt is he's made this a more attractive job because of the guys he's brought in. He has a lot of young guys coming back. Caleb Azubuike could be a breakout player at defensive end. Ryan Kimbrough, really one of the most talented backs around. The thing with him is his size, and he just hasn't gotten enough snaps yet to consistently show off what he can do. And, you know, Patton Robinet is a guy who I think with a little more time could develop into a pretty solid quarterback. So there are still options there, talent-wise. I think the big thing for them is they've got to bring in someone who can generate, you know, some excitement into that fan base. They're taking a big hit. They haven't seen a coach like this in forever. I don't think they've ever been this popular nationally and even in the SEC. So do you go after a guy like Kirby Smart? Do you go after Narduzzi at Michigan State? The good news is they're going to be able to go after someone who people recognize. I don't think people recognize James Franklin until he got there. That's changed because the facilities are going to get better because of what James Franklin did. They're recruiting better in the Southeast, especially in the state of Georgia. They just have to find somebody who's going to be energetic like James Franklin. Are they going to find someone who can sell the program as well? I don't know, but I think that they're at least going to be off to a better foot than they were a few years ago.
Edward Nussmeier leaves Alabama as the offensive coordinator. He's taking that position at Michigan now. And apparently Lane Kiffin is getting a crack at the vacancy at Alabama, which, I got to be honest, I'm almost hoping comes to pass just for the fun of it.
You and me too, brother. Quote, quote, quote. Although, here's the problem. He doesn't get to speak with the media, so we won't really get to hear from him unless they make it to a BCS bowl game. Well, I guess no longer BCS bowl game until they make it to a playoff game.
Right.
But at the same time, you never know what could be said on the recruiting trail, at any of these banquets, these trips that all these coaches take around to talk to booster clubs. But, you know, he is a great offensive mind, and I know that Florida had a little bit of interest there when they were looking for an offensive coordinator, but it's got to be tough to sell that to not only the Florida fan base, but the boosters. The guy who threw Urban Meyer under the bus a few years ago as your offensive coordinator. If he is hired at Alabama, I think it's a good hire as far as what he can do. But here's the question. You've already lost two offensive coordinators in the last couple of years. Is Lane Kiffin in this to be an offensive coordinator for a few years, or is he looking to get back into the head coaching ranks? And is Nick Saban just going to have to find somebody again a year from now if they do well? I think you'll see more tempo if he goes to Alabama. It'll be a little bit of a different offense. But when you lose a guy like A.J. McCarron and you're kind of starting over on offense a little bit, maybe change isn't so bad. But I just wonder if he is hired at Alabama or a program as big as Alabama or close to being as big as Alabama, is it a long-term thing or is it just one of those, you know, stepping stone kind of deals? Because at a smaller school, you can understand it. He's trying to move up to be a head coach. But I don't know. Do you want to have to do this search again the third time in 3 years?
For those who have not noticed, too, Brett Bielema finally hired the defensive line coach. Apparently talked to like 15 different dudes. Rory Seagrass, who spent time with the Eagles, went to the NFL playoffs 3 times with them. He spent the last few years at Samford, which is an FCS school. Anyway, he's the new defensive line coach at Arkansas. So if Coach Bielema likes him, I assume if there's one position that Coach Bielema should be able to hire pretty well, it's defensive line coach, being an old D lineman himself. So hopefully that works out well. Going back to the national title game now, we haven't had you on since the victory on Monday night by Florida State, but It was certainly a game that could have gone either way, and we saw championship plays by both teams, and Florida State really had to have a lot of things go right and make a lot of plays late to try to pull that out, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I had the score right, but the wrong team. And I just wonder, and can't take anything away from Trey Mason. He looked like the best player on the field for three quarters. But if he goes down at the 1 or 2 yard line and you force Florida State to have to use its timeouts, they're getting in that end zone some way. You take a lot of time off that clock. You just wonder what would have happened. And obviously that big blown play where I think it was Green catches and runs all the way down into deep in Auburn territory, pretty much into the game for the Tigers. But at the same time, you just have to wonder if he doesn't get so excited and runs into the end zone. And I probably would have done the same thing. I would have said, oh, my gosh, I'm about to score the game-winning touchdown in the national championship. How different that outcome would have been. But at the same time, it was such a good game. And you have to feel bad for Auburn with starting off with a 21-3 lead. And when they scored that touchdown late, Florida State did, I started to think, you know, they're going to start to find some holes. They upped the tempo. Jameis Winston got more comfortable after he fumbled that ball. It looked like he was finally in the game. And he's Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. And there's a reason why Auburn's defense is ranked so low in the SEC. But they played really well for three quarters on defense. And you know, ironically, it was the offense for Auburn that struggled in the second half. I mean, to not score a lot of points against a team that you know can come back, that's never going to help you. I tweeted it out. Kickers missing field goals in BCS bowl games, it never works out for you. So, you know, it hats off to what Auburn did, hats off to what Florida State did. It's a great national championship, and I'm excited to see what the playoffs is going to bring.
Man, I grew into a college football fan back in the day when Florida State couldn't buy a field goal in a big bowl game, so that was really something else to watch. I felt like Florida State was victimized by their own receivers for a little bit. There were so many drops. I just wonder if a few of those balls were held onto, whether or not Mason's touchdown really matters at the end, if Florida State would have been ahead, you know, not by such a wide margin, but maybe that touchdown doesn't give Auburn the lead.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, too. If they score a touchdown on that first drive after Auburn pretty much dropped a wide-open touchdown, how different this game would have been, because I think you would have seen Jameis Winston click right there and say, okay, I'm in this. But the struggle, to start off struggling, and to really dig himself into a hole, I think that team was just shell-shocked. If they had scored early, I don't know if Auburn would have been able to keep up with them, because I don't think you would have seen any lack of confidence the rest of the half, and that certainly would have spilled over into the second half. But, yeah, you're right. Their receivers made some bad drops. Kelvin Benjamin, a guy who people think could be a first-round draft pick, made some big drops, and then made some big catches, and then made the game-winning catch.
Yeah, he made up for it at the end.
Yeah, there's a reason why they were in that title game. And you know, the funniest thing to me was, half Florida State was the best team in the country this year. They proved that Monday night. But Sunday leading up to the game, it was Florida State playing Auburn. And then when they won, it was Florida State beat the SEC. So I thought that was pretty funny how that worked out.
You know, in the matchup of the two quarterbacks, I was really impressed with Franklin. I mean, he's it's tough to bring him down. He's elusive in the pocket, gets out of the pocket, and is even more elusive. Great runner, good arm. One bad throw, but still, I mean, he looked like he had a pretty good game and matched up pretty well against Winston.
He's only going to get better, too. And, you know, Rhett Lashley told me before the Alabama game that Nick Marshall is a guy who didn't look like he could throw the ball a lot because they didn't want to throw the ball a lot because they knew that they could run. But he was getting more comfortable every game throwing the ball, more consistent in practice. And I know that play against Georgia was crazy, but he had the confidence in himself to throw that ball downfield. We've seen plenty of quarterbacks short-arm it or throw short and not even get the first down. But he's a guy who isn't afraid to go out there and do what he wants to do, and that's kind of a good thing for this offense. I think you'll see them throw a little bit more next year, especially, you know, if Trey Mason, who's going to announce here pretty soon if he's going to the NFL or not. If he doesn't come back, I think you see a lot more passing, a lot more of the maybe the screen type stuff that they've done a little bit. But the playbook is certainly going to expand with another offseason there with Gus Malzahn and Nick Marshall.
Is Trey Mason not the top back taken in the draft, you think, if he comes out?
I think the knock on him is going to be his size. I mean, he's 5'9", 205 pounds. But he has great vision, great cuts. He's a strong back.
He is.
Saw that against Florida State. Mm-hmm. I just think that he's probably not a first-round draft pick only because of that size factor. He's going to make a rough. He's going to be a guy who's taking second, third round. I think second round. And he's someone who can make an impact on special teams. He can make an impact in the short yardage passing game. I think that you didn't see a ton of him this season out of the backfield catching passes, but he kind of reminds me of Darren Sproles type player. Maybe not as bowling ballish as MJD, but I think he's someone that you're certainly gonna want to pick up on waivers in fantasy here pretty soon.
Next year we're going to a 14 playoff, and it's going to impact the outcome in some way or another. This year we might not have had the same champion. At FSU, had to play not one but two SEC schools to get to a national title. over under one team from the SEC making the playoff next year, you think?
I actually think it's only going to be a push, because I think that next year, I think the SEC is going to beat itself up because there's so many questions. All these quarterbacks are leaving. I think that you're going to have a lot of balance in this league. I would be shocked if the SEC champion had less than two losses during the season. I just think, you know, Alabama, they lose A.J. McCarron, they lose C.J. Mosley, they lose a lot of leaders there. We don't know what the offense is going to look like.
I was going to say, their offensive lineman and Dix announced today they're coming out as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are losing some good, good players. But at the same time, you still have Nick Saban as your head coach. And the good thing for them is everybody but Auburn is losing a ton as well. I mean, if Trey Mason leaves, obviously Greg Robinson is already gone and Dee Ford is gone. Those are some big names, but they still have a lot of young guys who can compete and who played a lot this season. So I don't think they're going to drop off very much at all. I think Ole Miss is a team that can challenge for the West and the SEC. Texas A&M, even with Johnny Manziel gone, they have a lot of firepower coming back, like I said. The thing with me is, what is the SEC East going to look like? Now that James Franklin is gone, Vanderbilt, it's going to be tough for them to really compete now, because he's just a completely different guy. He can coach and motivate like no one that I've seen outside of really Nick Saban, and they do it two different ways. He's kind of like an Urban Meyer in that sense. I think that, you know, Georgia brings back everybody pretty much outside of Aaron Murray and a couple guys, but at the same time, that defense brings back a lot of people from a really bad unit. Florida, we have no idea what that offense is going to do. South Carolina loses a ton of guys, especially on defense.
Oh, I think
Missouri might be the favorite right now. They lose some guys, but they still have Matty Moss.
Yeah.
Earl Green Beckham coming back, and a few good running backs. So it's just going to be fun, but I don't see two SEC teams getting in.
And let's be honest, we know what Florida's going to do offensively next year. Not much.
We'll see. I don't know. I read somewhere where they're a dark horse for the national championship, and Mark Schlabach said they'd won 9 games. So
a dark horse for the national championship?
Yeah, but they were in the top 10 at some point this year, right?
I can't remember where I read that, but, yeah, they're one of the top 5 teams to be a dark horse.
Yeah.
And who knows? If Kurt Roper can get that offense going, I mean, I still think Jeff Driscoll is a talented quarterback. And if they implement a spread, I think that works for him, because he doesn't have to read defenses as much. He's clearly a spread quarterback. He's not someone who can line up and be a pro-style quarterback, and that helps them. And maybe that will help the receivers who didn't do anything last year, outside of Solomon Pat.
Yeah, well, I will say the offensive coordinators who have been hired at schools recently, Kurt Roper was the best addition anywhere that I've seen. More so than Nussmeier going to Michigan and anybody they end up with at Alabama. So I will give you that. And they'll be much better on offense. You'll assume they won't go through the same kind of injury issues they had this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was such a weird year last year. I guess it's hard to know what to expect. I don't have any faith at all. I like him a lot, but I don't believe in Muschamp as a head coach. We'll see. Okay, so Arkansas bowl-bound next year, you think, with what you know about them at this point, or do we have to wait and see?
I think it's still wait and see. How much momentum do they even have going into spring right now?
Not much, I wouldn't think.
I think that's a big thing. When you look at Tennessee's different. They played really tough down the stretch. And Arkansas, they almost beat LSU. I think if they win that game, then you have a chance to say, okay, they've got something to hang their hat on. But to end the season losing as many games as they did in a row, I just think that that's going to hurt them. And I still said since day one, you know, he's got to get the players. Bielema's got to get the players who match his system. And it's going to be tough right now. He's behind in the recruiting game, as we've seen. I think it's we need to see what they do in spring practice. If he has confidence in these guys, you start to see, you know, a little bit more morale around this team, especially Brandon Allen, who has to take over. He's going to be the guy. He has to step up and be a bigger leader. Can Alex Collins step up and be a leader vocally? You know what he can do on the field. Mm-hmm. They lose a lot on that defensive line. There are questions at secondary and linebacker already last year. Is the offensive line going to get better? So there's still a ton of questions. And the bodies are there, but are they the right bodies right now? I don't know. And I think that this class that he's bringing in, and obviously last class, has to step up immediately. so that they can start running what they want to run.
Edward, we appreciate the time. Quick on the way out, thoughts on Bobby Petrino to Louisville?
I think the sigh was probably
plenty right there.
Yes.
The good news is that he said he wants to retire there.
Yeah,
so
well.
That's where he wants to retire, and he's honest. I mean,
that's what I told my boss about this job, too, until somebody in Chicago or New York calls, and I have to look at that, but we'll see. I'm telling you, if Muschamp gets fired next year, just watch out.
I don't think Jeremy Fuller would go down that road. I just don't see. I know that he was interested.
Yeah, because Florida's not desperate to win or anything, are they?
Jeremy Foley, I don't think he'd go down that road. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd want to bring that baggage, especially if they have to fire their head coach and then you bring baggage into the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, baggage that guarantees you victories, though.
It's a little different down south.
I would have never thought Tom Jurich, having been through this deal with him before, would have brought him back either. We're going to spend the next segment on it, though, so we'll see.
We'll see.
It would be best. I'll tell you what, it'd be best for Petrino if he finished his career there. Then he could at least have put a little bit of shine on this turd that has been his career. It is amazing how successful the guy has been on the field and how bad a guy he's been off the field. But if he goes down there and wins a couple of BCS games and spends the next 10 years there before retiring, and you know what? He can go out with a smile on his face, and that'd be great for Louisville, too, because there is no coach they're going to get that's better than him.
That's true.
For pure coaching.
I don't see him going back to the SEC. I don't think it'll happen.
All right. Edward, we appreciate the time.
All right, man.
Take care, man. Happy New Year. Thanks. We will be back in just a moment. Bill, hang on. We'll get to you right out of the break. We are going to talk